This episode of Podcasts from the Past was recorded on February 5th, 1956. Please remember to follow Tim and Mike on Twitter at @TimPaleri and at @MichaelOHaver1, and follow the show's page at Podcasts from the. If you don't like it, we'll bury you alive.
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me, you can't beat. The memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Sweet,
sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners on KROW Radio Hollywood, welcome to Tim and Mike's Entertainment Show. It's Friday, February 5th, 1956, and we saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers today. I am your host, Tim Paleri, and with me as always is my trusty co-host, Michael O'Haver. Say hi, Mike.
Salutations to all of our fans, new and old. Welcome to the show.
Doesn't salutations mean goodbye?
It could. I think it's like aloha in Hawaii. It means hello, goodbye, I love you, all that stuff.
And that song you hear is the number one hit song in the country. Of course, it's Dean Martin with Memories Are Made of This, and it is the reminiscent sound of your winter 1956. God, I love that song. Now, Mike, you used to perform on stage with Dean Martin, right?
Yeah, absolutely I did. We had a duo, Martin and O'Haver. Actually, they just left me out of the name for the most part. Introduced Dean Martin and have me come out with him.
Do you want to croon a little bit along with him real quick?
Yeah, I would love to.
Go for it.
Boy, my love.
One man.
Doobie-doo. I would just kind of jump in like this for all of his songs.
It sounds pretty good.
Or I would play the girl.
I love you, Dean.
Thanks for the opportunity to relive this part of my life.
Yeah, you're really good at it. I'm surprised you're not still doing it.
I'm sorry. I could do some more.
Maybe at the end of the show.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So we have a great show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are reviewing the scary horror alien flick, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And we have the author of Collier Magazine's serial, Invasion of the BS, here in studio with us today. Jack Finney will be in just a few minutes to discuss his serial, Aliens, Alien Life, and the movie, too. And maybe he can finally tell us if Mrs. O'Haver is an alien or not.
Yeah, I've been wanting to know for years.
What makes you think she is an alien?
She does a lot of crazy things, like A, she's with me. B, she cleans up around the house a lot, constantly. She talks to herself.
It's terrifying. Well, hopefully
she wears different colored socks.
That's a sure sign.
Yeah.
So are you excited for this, Mike? You seem
a little excited.
Yeah, I know you were chewing my ear off a little bit in the break room about the alien invasion that you witnessed. I know it kind of freaked you out while watching this movie a little bit. Before we go on, I just want to make sure you're all right.
Yeah, I felt it was necessary to talk about this on the air. I was told I had an appointment, and I couldn't help but go. Some sort of force was driving me. There was a woman in a white uniform. She had me wait in a small room. My mouth was hurting really very terribly the entire time I was waiting in the room, and it just became excruciating until a gentleman in a white uniform took me back down this long hallway, sat me in a chair, and I don't remember much after that. It felt like they were drilling my teeth, pulling my teeth out. They put needles in my gums. They had me inhale some sort of gas.
They sound awful.
Yeah, it was horrifying. They looked exactly like human beings, except the white uniforms.
Have you been back to the dentist since then?
Several times.
Well, on to current events. Earlier this winter, on December 22nd, American cytogeneticist Jo-Hin Cho discovered the correct number of human chromosomes, 46. Now, Mike, I think you probably know how I feel about this, but how do you feel about this quote-unquote science?
Yeah, this seems like a bunch of voodoo to me. Somebody tells me we have 46 chromosomes. That doesn't check out. We've got a lot more than 46, I can tell you that much.
How many do we have?
I think the body just keeps producing chromosomes.
Kind of like a lizard if you cut off the tail?
Right. It'll grow a new tail, sometimes two tails. That's just like a human being. We're evolved from lizards, from what I understand.
Well, on January 3rd, and back by popular demand, Peter Pan, starring Mary Martin, is restaged live by Producers Showcase on NBC TV. Mike, how do you feel about a woman taking a man's role on stage or anywhere?
Obviously, you know my feelings on the women's liberation front. I'm strongly against it. I think women belong in the home, getting meals prepared, mowing the lawn, doing most of the heavy labor. For a woman to steal a man's job is just abhorrent. I mean, it's a tragedy. It truly is.
Hey, Valerie, you hear what we're saying about women? Go in the fucking kitchen and make me a sandwich. And wipe that.
I thought she was the caterer when I first met her.
Wipe that fucking smile off your face, Valerie.
She seems very amused with us for as terrible as we treat her.
I think we're pretty nice to her.
Yeah.
Well, January 31st, novelist and creator of Winnie the Pooh died in Sussex, England at the ripe age of 74. Now, Mike, what is Winnie the Pooh? And why do they call him Pooh?
So this is a Chinese character, Winnie the Pooh. Pooh is actually an abbreviation for his true Chinese name, Pooh Yang Hua Il. And he was a monkey. He was a monkey that lived in the trees, and he would come down during Christmas time and bring children presents.
So he's not a bear covered in shit?
He's not a bear covered in shit, not as far as I know.
All right, well, let's bring author Jack Finney in here. Come on in, Jack. How are you doing? Science fiction author Jack Finney.
Welcome
to the show.
My name is Jack Finney. I am a science fiction author. My wife has a casserole going right now.
So, Jack, in general, how do you feel about science?
With science, it's easy. It's a gut feeling. That's what science is. You know, you're going to hear all these things about these people with, oh, we have to have a hypothesis, and we have to experiment, and it takes too much time, and peer reports and all that stuff. I don't have time for that. You got to go with your gut feeling. That's what science is.
I completely agree. Mike, as you know, I think science should be run like, just whenever you feel like it, you do whatever the fuck you want.
That's right.
You publish a report. And I mean, if science exists at all, that's how I think it should be run. Right. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I mean, my feelings on science are well documented. I don't believe in it. I am a very religious man. And so science pretty much cancels all that stuff out. You know, there's no way we could kill someone and bring him back from the dead 3 days later with science, so what good does it do us?
Damn right.
Jack, how do you feel about fiction?
Fiction, nonfiction, it's all the same to me.
What about science nonfiction?
Science nonfiction, it's like fiction, but it's nonfiction, but it's science, and it's all instinct and go with your gut.
So what it sounds to me is that his book is nonfiction science fiction, so you believe in aliens.
Yeah, well, damn right I do.
Where do you come up with the idea?
So is this based on something that happened to you?
Yeah, great question.
All right. You want to hear the story? Is this...
This is story time, yeah.
All right, here's the story. This is back in the old days, before the war. My wife and I, we were fighting. We were hollering at each other. And
having your own war.
Having a war. And she ups and packs up and leaves. Just gets her suitcase and just leaves. And who knows where the hell she went. And I like my time on my own. You can use the toilet with the door open.
Oh, yes.
That's the best part about not having a woman around.
Fucking women.
3 months later, she comes back. Where were you? Da-da-da-da. And she also knows all these maneuvers, these exotic things, this, like the standing 69, and the doggy styles, and the reverse cowgirls, and I'm telling you, I'm a conservative man here.
And when your wife
gets back from a...
It is disgusting. When she gets back from a sabbatical and she wants to wrap a rubber band around your testicles, you have to think, how did she learn this stuff? Where did she learn it? I think it was aliens. She
really?
Was kidnapped by aliens.
By celestial beings. And they implanted a chip in her brain, which taught her how to be a dynamo in the sack. Thus came the inspiration for Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I kind of wish Mike's wife would get one of those.
Your wife went on a trip.
Yeah.
She came back. She knew all these new sexual maneuvers.
Yeah.
Sounds like she was probably just out banging around.
That's preposterous. That is preposterous. My wife would never do that. How dare you?
Take it from a man that has been cheated on numerous times. In fact, every woman I've ever been with has left me for someone else. Some even leave me for two guys.
Most of them leave Mike for me.
I don't want to be too curt here, too randy, but I'm quite a Lothario in the bedroom.
I would guess that, actually.
I am quite a self-proclaimed Lothario.
I usually size up all of our guests, and I have a scorecard, and I keep it privately. I mean, sometimes I share it with Mike. But you're passing on all of my special points, my 17-point system right now.
This is how you make love to a woman. Son, are you listening there? This is how you make love to a woman. You get your gonad all ready. You stick it out of your fly hole. And then you deposit your seed.
All right. So you leave
roll
your
over.
On for this?
Yeah, oh, of course. I mean, that's too much time. All this thing about taking off clothes is...
For the birds.
For the birds. It's
I feel like women made that part up, that they want us to take our clothes off.
Nobody wants to see me naked, believe me.
That's right. Not what my 17-point system would tell you.
And there's one thing, too, that aliens do. They spread sexually transmitted diseases. For my wife, when she came back from her little alien abduction, gonorrhea all over the place on this one. All right? If you get a sexually transmitted disease, chances are you're probably sleeping with an alien.
Mm.
Mike, any experience with this?
Well, I gotta say, yeah, I've definitely gotten my fair share of STDs. I caught the clap when I was overseas during the war.
Ah, yes, yeah. Who didn't?
Right. And so I may have slept with a couple of aliens during the war. I mean, I think that's when they prey on us is when we're fighting amongst ourselves.
Yep.
That's when the aliens sneak in there.
Yep.
I've got to say, though, I'm a little nervous meeting you in person because of all of the knowledge you have of aliens. I'm kind of convinced you might be an alien too, sir.
I'm going to tell you something about aliens. The first thing that an alien is going to do is they're going to get in your skin. They're going to try to fit in, right? But aliens don't look like humans. They look weird. So if you look at somebody and go, that guy looks like a weirdo, he's probably an alien.
Just open fire?
Just open fire. Just shoot him to hell.
All right.
Fire on anybody. Shoot anyone that you suspect may be an alien because your gut is telling you something science doesn't.
Correct, son.
That makes sense.
On to the movie. Invasion of the Body Snatchers is about a small-town doctor who learns that the population of his community is being replaced by emotionless alien duplicates. It stars Kevin McCarthy, Dana Winter, Larry Gates, and House of Wax's Carolyn Jones.
Oh, she had a bosom on her. Huh?
Oh, she is something.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the show. She's been on a lot over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Mike even took her out one time, but I don't think they did the nasty. Mike?
Yeah, that did not end well when we went out together.
You didn't close the deal, son.
I did not close the deal. I have a hard time with women.
Don't we all?
Doesn't stop him from trying. So we'll try to go through the show in chronological order as we always attempt on this show.
How long do I have to be here?
Well, our radio shows usually go about an hour. But if, you know, we're having a lot of fun with you, it might go 2-3 days. Okay, so the first thing we see is a guy sprinting into a police station. And I'm over here thinking, wow, he is a crazy person. Mike, you reminded me of one of your ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when I saw him. I thought, you know, he is acting and kind of looks exactly like my ex-girlfriend, Diane.
Ah, Diane. There's a Diane in every man's life. Someone who brings you
3 days closer to the grave, if you know what I'm saying. Just...
You're saying that you'd die 3 days earlier if you hung out with
exactly,
this person?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So, I know what you're saying, yeah.
That's poetic.
I'm a man with a lot of words. Good vocabulary, as you can see.
I'd say, yeah. And then, so we find out that this lunatic is a doctor named Miles. And then almost immediately we go into a flashback. And in fact, the whole movie was pretty much a flashback that leads back to the point where he runs into the police station in the beginning. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of a wild concept, I think. Now, Jack, was that your idea?
No, that's too crazy for me. That was the director, Don Siegel, just going crazy. I'm an A to B to C man.
I gotcha. Right? Yeah.
You take your gonad out. You insert it in your wife. You have Congress, sensual Congress. You deposit your seed. 15 seconds later, you go to sleep. You go to bed. That's A B C right there. That's the type of man I am.
Mike.
15 seconds.
15 seconds. Like a long time. That's a dynamic round of emotionless Congress right there that I like to partake in.
Okay.
I have read that all a woman needs to achieve orgasm is 8 seconds of penetration, so you're giving her an extra 7 seconds for free.
Son, I am a Lothario.
You should charge her.
You keep saying you're a Lothario, and yes. I believe it.
Yes, yes.
And you may be an alien.
Yeah.
I may be. You never know.
If he lasts 15 seconds, that's...
That's something no human being can do. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Alien territory right
there. I'm confident in that.
In this flashback, he starts hanging out with the very beautiful young woman, Dana Winter.
Ah, bosoms.
And
yes.
Yes. Oh, I am getting sweaty just thinking about her.
Yes.
Valerie, bring me in a cold cloth. Actually, bring me in a warm cloth and a cold cloth and some tissues while we talk about Dana Winter.
Where's this heading? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, should I turn around, or is this? Do you need some alone time?
I'm a conservative man.
This is the smoothest doctor I've ever seen, though. He is laying kisses on her, and he's just being all handsome and charming. I was offended, but entertained at the same time.
You know what we used to call men like that back in the war, back in England? We used to call them poon hounds.
Poonhound, I like it. They did mention, I think she was married too, didn't they?
Oh, she doesn't care.
Right.
No, he was married before.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, and then, but he's broken up with now. Will you fucking watch the movie? I mean, Jesus.
I did see a little bit of it, yes.
We sat right next to each other.
We sat right next to each other the whole time. I was a little distracted by the aliens in the theater, the people I was pretty sure were aliens.
They all looked weird, didn't they, son?
You were scoping it out?
Oh, yeah. Weird. Aliens everywhere. There may be an alien here in the studio.
Now, son, what is your criteria for an alien? What do you see? What comes to mind when you... I mean, you said you were in the theater with all these aliens. What gave them away? What was their call?
First thing is they're tall. Aliens seem to be rather tall all the time. Right. So anyone that's tall, boom, that's a strike against you.
Right.
They have to breathe air. So tall, breathing. They can be men or women. So men and women.
Right.
They usually have a real shifty look around, you know, about them. Always kind of looking around.
Yeah, they kind
of. Trying to figure out if any of us humans can tell they're aliens. So if someone makes eye contact with you, boom, alien.
They're friendly. You know, and sometimes they wear fashionable hats.
Celestial beings, they have very good fashion sense. Very good fashion sense.
I like that hat you're wearing, Jack.
Yeah, anybody dressed up dapper? Alien.
Yes. This is a fedora. A hat called a fedora. That's what I wear.
Well,
sounds fashionable.
So, not too long into the movie, Dr. Miles gets a house call, an emergency. And a friend of his found a corpse in his house, and the corpse was faceless, and it was almost like it was a body in progress, if that makes sense. And it kind of looked like the doctor's friend who had called him over in the first place. And at this point in the movie, I started getting really creeped out. Mike?
Yeah, this thing really creeped me out. But I have to say, when the doctor first started looking at this corpse, he immediately jumped to a lot of conclusions for a doctor. He said something about, I bet you he has all of his organs in his body completely healthy and intact. How would he How would he know that? Why would he make that conclusion just by looking at this thing?
Well, he's a scientist. I mean, he just...
That sounds like science.
It's instinct.
He made a gut call right there. That's the way that you do science.
He made a gut call.
Okay, that makes sense then. He just trusted his gut. I mean, right off the bat, I think this thing... That is a clone of you.
That's the doctor's credo.
So 90% of the time it works right there. Trust your instincts. Maybe this guy is an alien himself.
Oh, that's just like an alien to accuse another person to be an alien.
Me guy?
I would never manipulate.
You both are fucking aliens.
I would never manipulate.
Whoa. Why did you? Whoa.
That's my trademark right there. That's my catchphrase.
He's shaking his head. It's disturbing.
In horrible pain.
I had to go to the trademark office in Washington.
Wow.
And they were like, what do you want to trademark? And I went, bah.
You went to the trademark office in Washington.
Yeah.
And you trademarked, bah.
I have to charge you $1 for every time you do that, son. You owe me $10 right there, what you just did.
Because he did it on air? Is it more expensive on air?
It's 10 times more expensive on air.
That sounds accurate.
I don't play around.
No, 10. Are you fucking listening, Mike?
Yes, you're here. He did it.
Now you owe him $20.
Son, I don't like taking people's money, but, you know.
Valerie, give this guy $200 now.
Honey, sweetheart, please. $10.
Actually, give him $300.
$300.
And then the body starts to get more animated, and the wife of the fellow who is being replicated starts cracking up and literally just freaking out. What if you never freak out and you just kind of have an even temper all the time? Does that also mean that you're definitely an alien?
It means you're Mormon. That's what it means right there. For God's sakes, look at them. There's nothing behind those eyes there.
But seriously, if anyone in this office would be a pod person, like anyone that we work with, Mike or Jack, that you notice coming in here, who do you think would be?
If anyone in this office would be a pod person...
Louis. Why did we both... I can't believe we both said Louis at the same time. I think that means he's definitely an alien.
That guy's got a weird face. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Wow. Wait, how did you know who Louis was?
Let's bring him in here.
Yeah. Did you meet Louis outside, Jack?
That's preposterous.
What?
That's just...
I'm getting really suspicious now.
Wait a second. Tim, I think this is very telling of our guest. He knows Louis because all aliens know each other.
That's what I'm thinking. Valerie, bring Louis in here ASAP, okay?
That's preposterous. I don't like these accusations here.
Okay. Louis, have a seat. Have a hot seat, Louis.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Louis.
Louis, welcome to the show.
Louis, first, tell the audience what it is you do here at the radio station.
Oh, well, I help Michael with his day-to-day activities, as well as social needs and otherwise.
Social needs.
He cleans the glass for me.
I help prepare Michael's 9 square meals of each day. You understand his metabolism is quite high. I also clean his undergarments. Each day he does tend to soil himself.
All right, Louis.
Oh, sorry. That was probably part private.
No.
He maintains with the terrarium I keep behind the glass here.
Yes, he does ask that I paint the walls in his living room each day. So I've managed to do about 4,700 coats of paint.
I gotta say, he's really efficient. He's good around the house.
I do enjoy my work.
Is he not striking you as a little bit weird, Mike? Am I the only one who's not an alien right now? Mike, you're telling him to clean your underwear, and you guys are, everyone's okay with this. And Valerie, what is going on right now? Don't answer. Don't talk on the air, Valerie.
Take a step back.
Okay.
We're not aliens.
Okay.
I'm not an alien.
That poor woman there is going to hysterics because of you two.
So I think it's just them and us.
We're all aliens?
No, we're not. No. We're not aliens.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I'm not. I don't feel like an alien.
I haven't been to sleep lately, so that's a good thing. Because we know that's how they take over your body. You have to fall asleep, and then they eventually take your human self and you're replaced by the pod person self. And I have not been to sleep lately. Mike, I know you sleep about 14 hours a night, but...
Yeah, I've been forcing myself to stay awake nights. I'm terrified of these damn pod things coming in and replacing me. Like they replaced Louis here.
All right, well, let's move on to the movie. Let's just ignore their odd gazes for now, and we'll get to it.
Odd gaze.
And then, for the first time, we see that they're pods, and they're in the greenhouse, and no one go in the fucking greenhouse, right? I mean, Mike, call your wife. I know you have a greenhouse at home. Seriously, call her. Tell her to lock the fucking doors in the greenhouse and make sure there are no pods in there. Or if there are, stab them with the pitchfork, because that's what the doctor does.
I had a neighbor, his name was Scott, and he had a greenhouse in his backyard, and he was growing cron-cron back there.
Cron-cron.
Is that a different kind of pod?
Yes, yes. It gets real high, but it's very mellow at the same time.
That sounds alien.
Well, at this point in the movie, the aliens make it all the way up to Sacramento, and we know that because they try to call Sacramento. And the Sacramento lines are busy, and the operator just keeps sounding like an alien and saying, "Oh, we're busy. We're aliens up here. Valerie, call Sacramento. Call the station." If they don't answer, I'm really going to freak out, guys. I mean, Mike.
I mean, have you guys ever been to Sacramento? I mean, it's a toilet.
And now Miles and Becky are driving around, and they need gas, but the guy at the filling station is definitely a pod person.
"You smell quite nice, Tim."
I'm freaking out. He's saying, "Louis, where did you put Mike's pod?"
"I sleep in the garage."
"Valerie, get our guns."
"Valerie, bring in the gun and the pitchfork."
"Right, is there any need for that? I mean..."
"You say my pod is in the garage?"
"In the garage."
"In the garage."
"In the garage, that is where I sleep."
"You sleep in Mike's garage?"
"I'm his assistant."
He's a live-in.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mike, that's weird. But you didn't put any pod in there.
"I don't have a pod."
Okay. All right. So this might just be some little paranoia, guys. I mean, maybe nothing really is going on, and we just watched a movie that kind of freaked us out today. I mean, and that's it.
Well, it's easy to freak out when you watch these sort of things.
Yeah, now that I think about it, when you said pod, he might have thought you meant my car. My car kind of looks like a pod, and he parks it, obviously, in the garage.
Is that a metaphor?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is actually on the level, you know.
Okay.
Wink, wink. I'm looking at you, Tim. I'm giving you a signal.
Thank you for saying that out loud.
Michael.
Right. Yeah.
Michael, would you like your afternoon snack? Let me go prepare it. I'll be right back.
Jeez.
Yeah, you get the afternoon snack. We'll be here when you get back.
At this point in the movie,
Valerie, get the cuffs.
At this point in the movie, I'm not even sure if Dr. Miles or Becky is a pod person or not. It's just starting to get really intense, and it's getting really tense in here right now, too. Not going to lie. I mean, it's just freaking me out a little bit. And then Dr. Miles and Becky, they make it back to the doctor's office, and they have to hide from these pod people in the closet. Isn't that terrifying, Mike?
Hiding in the closet's horrifying, and the only thing more horrifying than hiding in the closet is coming out of the closet.
Exactly, and then they stayed in the closet for a lot longer than necessary.
Gotta be brave, son. I mean, it's nice and cozy in the closet.
It's warmer.
Yeah, I love it in there.
You got all your favorite things in there.
It's safe.
It's safe.
You get your pitchfork. It's horrifying to come out of the closet when you've been in for as long as I have, or they were.
Oh, here comes Louis again. Louis, sit down.
Michael, I have brought your clams, as you requested each day in the afternoon.
Thank you. Please chuck those for me.
And so then they observe a meeting of aliens in the town square, and they're walking around like it's noon, but it's really only 7:52 a.m. Louis, what time do you get here in the morning, just out of curiosity?
I get here at about 5:48 in the a.m. each day to prepare Michael's first meal.
Jesus Christ.
It does take a lot of time because you are so particular about your eggs. I go through 3 dozen each day in order to get them perfect.
I need a certain amount of protein to keep me regular.
Jack, what time do you wake up in the morning?
Son, I haven't slept since the war, since we carpet bombed Bremen.
Since you got taken over by a pod person yourself?
I do not appreciate these accusations.
Are you falling asleep, Louis? He's falling asleep, Mike. Valerie, bring the fucking gun in here. Get the fucking gun.
I know he works late, but This is crazy.
It would be good for both of you right now to take a nap. A little nap.
What?
You look like you haven't slept in 3-4 days.
About time, Valerie. Jesus Christ.
We haven't. We're freaked out about your movie.
About time with the gun and the pitchfork, Valerie. Oh. We've been waiting. This is...
Nah, son, you gotta put down the pitchfork right there.
I'm fine. I'm just gonna stand here with this pitchfork. Just
I got a casserole at home. I have a casserole at home. This is preposterous.
Oh, well, what's preposterous?
This is all hooey here with the pitchforks and the firearms.
The pitchfork and the gun up against your neck and
I didn't sign up for
pointed
this.
At you. Yeah, what? So you're a little nervous now, huh?
Well, of course I'm nervous, son. This oaf over here is holding a pitchfork in my throat.
No sudden movements.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And no falling asleep. Valerie, that goes for you, too.
Now, sir, this is all fiction. This is all fiction. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that's unreal.
Valerie, in fact, put a fucking pot of coffee on. This is gonna be a long night.
There's a casserole going. I gotta get out of here.
And then Doc Miles and Becky pretend to be aliens. And I thought this was actually a smart move to get away. And it actually worked.
Michael, would you like me to rake your yard with this pitchfork?
Hang on to it for now.
Yeah, we got this mongoloid over here. I mean, what are we supposed to do here?
I'm happy to hang on to it for you.
No, I feel comfortable just kind of standing here with this pitchfork.
Oh my God!
Oh, for God's sakes! Oh, for love of God!
Jesus Christ!
Holy mother of all that is holy Toledo!
Oh,
holy!
Oh my God!
Good shot, son.
Thank you. Just in case everyone's freaking out at home, everyone just please relax. Valerie, get Teddy the janitor in here to clean this up.
Look at all this green blood everywhere.
Louie, Mike's assistant, just turned into an alien.
He's dead.
And his tentacles and green blood went everywhere. And we killed him.
A lot of a mess there.
Christ, he was really an alien.
He was definitely a real fucking alien.
I'm not going to lie. You two really called this one.
He was a great assistant.
You guys were working together for a long time, Mike. You know,
yeah, this is going to be tough to replace.
Me and this gun are looking your way next.
All right.
Mike, this guy's sleeping in your garage?
That's right, son. Yeah, I like where you're going with this.
Yeah, what about you, Mike? I'm pointing this gun right at you, motherfucker.
That's right, mother effer.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Are you a fucking alien?
I'm not an alien, Tim. You know this about me.
All right, well, let's see how he reacts to this. And then Doc Miles and Becky start running up the Hollywood Hills, up by the Hollywood sign, right near your house, Mike. Was that weird to watch that they were running, like, right around the corner from your house, Mike?
Yeah, that was a little crazy. I don't like when any movies are filmed near my house. It kind of ruins my suspension of disbelief.
Maybe, this is just me thinking here. These are the gears turning. It's funny that these aliens ended up by Mike's house, huh? Eh? Eh, Mike? Just a coinky dink?
Let me think. So, they were running near my house.
Or could it be
Louie, my assistant, was an alien. Maybe they were going to meet up with their alien buddy.
I mean, that could be the case.
I hope you're not suggesting I'm an alien.
I'm using my gut here.
Red-blooded American.
Now, I'm not really sure what to think, because I know that one alien kind of always accuses another alien of being an alien, and sometimes they're both aliens, sometimes none of them are aliens, sometimes one is the alien, and we're not sure which one isn't or isn't the alien.
That's
so
preposterous.
Right now, I've got this gun, and it's going back and forth, pointed at you guys, and I'm not really sure what to think.
Keep that gun pointed the other way right there, and we'll all be better off.
I feel strange with you just pointing that gun at me and then our guests. Point it at Valerie, if that makes you feel better.
That does, actually. Valerie, look me in the eyes when I point this gun at you. Wait a second. If they were all running towards your house, and you're here, and you're not there right now, does that mean your wife is definitely going to be a pod person by the time you get home?
Oh, God. Valerie, take my keys, take this pitchfork, and drive over to my house and stab my wife to death immediately after the show.
And then Becky falls asleep and lets herself become a pod person. No sleeping, Jack. Jack, if you so much as blink, I'm going to put a fucking bullet in your head.
Where am I?
And did you fall asleep?
Where?
That goes for you too, Valerie. I'll fucking put this bullet right between your eyes.
Oh, we're back to this again.
And then this doctor runs into the police station just like he did in the beginning of the film, and he finishes the story. But obviously the cops are pod people too. It's just everyone's a fucking pod person, and then that's pretty much the end of the movie.
It's horrifying.
Jack, is there anything you'd like to tell us?
Right.
We're giving you the opportunity here to admit certain sins.
My name is Jack Finney, and I'm an American, and I detest, and I say detest, being accused of things that I am not. Aliens. Bah.
Come on. Come clean. Lay it out on the line. Tell us everything.
If you want me to admit something here, that I slept with Mike's wife, that I was engaging in some sort of sordid affair, then
yeah, we
then
do.
Maybe that's what I'm going to say. Maybe that's what I'm going to admit to.
Are you admitting it?
Yes. Yes, I slept with Mike's wife.
That was because Valerie blinked.
Good God, man. I mean, really?
How are we supposed to know if she's an alien or not? She closed her eyes for a second. There were no tentacles, though. Look at all that green blood. Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah, those are tentacles coming out of her. Green blood everywhere.
Oh, my God, all the green blood flying all over the glass.
You know, I'm going to admit, I was way off on this alien thing all day long. You two were right in the pickle barrel.
Mike, why don't you poke Jack with that pitchfork to see if he's bleeding green or not?
Why don't you go to hell, son? You should go to hell.
I'm just gonna just hold still.
What are
I'm
you
gonna
doing?
Poke you with this thing.
Ah! Stop it!
Ooh. All right, Jack. I'm gonna play this song to take us out of the show, Jack.
And you people are mad.
If you don't,
this is gonna be another lawsuit.
If you don't admit to us by the end of this song that you're a pod person, then Mike is going to stab you repeatedly with that pitchfork. And if you do admit it, well we're going to kill you either way, so.
Kill him! Shit, fucking. Oh my God, he just jumped out the window! Oh my God, he's running away! Throw the pitchfork! Got him! Oh my God, you killed him! What a perfect throw, Mike! That was an amazing,
most athletic thing I've ever done in my life.
You threw that like a javelin, like a trained javelin thrower.
Thanks.
That was amazing. What the fuck just happened?
Two aliens in the studio, or excuse me, three aliens in the studio.
There's so much green blood coming out of Valerie's head still.
Lots of green blood.
We're not going to get in any trouble for this, right? I mean, we killed aliens, right?
We probably shouldn't air this show.
Valerie,
you could be spending a lot of time in prison.
Valerie, cancel this broadcast. Oh.
Yeah, resurrect yourself and cancel this broadcast.
Now!
Please.
She's not moving. Fuck. She really is dead.
What a terrible producer.
Well, anyway, I think we had a pretty entertaining show, Mike, and I had fun. Yeah, I had fun. Anything you have to say?
Can't wait to get home tonight and murder my wife with a pitchfork.
Thank you for listening to Podcasts from the Past. Jamie Mennell plays Jack Finney, and David Flanick plays Louis the Alien. Follow Jamie on Twitter @JamieMennell. Tune in next time or we'll tell lies about you on the air.